The last book of the Bible is Malachi, and this is one before the last, the book of Zechariah. And in the book of Zechariah, we're going to learn that the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the points that I learned from this book is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God. Now, you know the introduction that always we do. We bring all the serious progression. I don't go into good detail. Our brother is going to show us all the book that we study. Once again, if somebody need a copy of these sermons, you go to BethelMorningHill.org. And over there, you have the majority of the studies of the Old Testament, and you can copy. Is that right, Brother Greg? And you can copy from there, and that way we don't have to spend the money in making CDs and things like that. You take it right there in your home, in your computer. And I'm counseling people to do so. All right? Look at all the books that we have learned. All right? Each one is a Sunday. Now we have done 31, 32 Haggai. And now we got the book for our discussion, Zechariah. Now, the topic for our discussion always is the same, the book of Zechariah, and it is relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Zechariah is a prophecy that deals with Israel and deals with Christians, but we are focusing to learn what we can learn about Jesus. There is a general information that we always have, and this one you know. In Luke 24, 27, Jesus talking to how many people? Remember? Two people. And who were those people? They were coming from where to where? From Jerusalem to Emmaus. And who was joining with them? They cannot recognize it. Is that right? It's amazing that the third party is talking and they don't understand who is it. But that's what the Bible says. And how did Jesus identify himself with them? Verse 27 tells you. How did Jesus identify himself? He showed unto them what? Pardon me? Himself. He showed unto them that that's what the book of the law, the book of Moses, said, and that's what the prophet said. Then later on in the chapter, Jesus talking to, in verse 44, to 11. And when he's talking to 11, there were some people who doubt and some people who do not recognize the resurrected Lord. And somebody can read for me Luke 24, 44, so that, do you have that, Raquel? Will you read it for me?
Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.
See that? It was written in the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. In Hebrew, Psalms are all the rest of the book that there are no prophet, okay? And he said, everything is concerning me. All right? Now, there is another information that we learn in John 5:39. He's talking to who? To doctors of the law. And in John 5:39, he really said, let's see, somebody find it for me and read it, John 5:39. And you got it, Terry? Will you read it for me?
Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
See, Jesus said to the Pharisees, the Pharisees were wrong, but Jesus said, now, keep on searching the scripture, because the scriptures are the one who testify about me. The scriptures, okay? The one that I really like it is Hebrews 10, in verse 7. This is what, when I read that, sold me to do this program in Spanish. Became a success. Actually, I did a first hit in church 15 years ago. Became a successful. Somebody picked up the tapes, did a book on it, and now become a course, a Bible course on the Old Testament. Very famous in jails. Everybody wanted to study this Bible course. And Darlene, do you have that? 10:7, will you read it for me? See, in the volume of the books is written on me. Now, what book he's talking about? Talking about the Bible. Now, there is one thing I want you to know. When this was said, there was the New Testament completed?
No.
So what book he's talking about?
The
Old Testament. So in the volume of the book, it is written on me. The whole Old Testament. So when the Jew wanted to say, well, the New Testament talks about Jesus, but the Old Testament, no, the Old Testament talks about Jesus. Mention to them this. This is a quotation of Psalm 45:5. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Now we go to the book of tonight, the book of Zechariah. And the specific information. Let's turn your Bible to Zechariah. If you have Malachi, the book before Malachi is Zechariah. Matthew to the left, Zechariah. And it was hard for the students today in class to learn Hebrew because we had to go to the right and we had to look in the Bible and find the letter right to left and so on. All right? Now, okay, class, we learned this letter today. Remember? Zajin, all right, Zajin. And we learned this letter, Kappa. Oh, again. This is a Dalet, Yod, Dalet, all right? Because, okay, Zechariah. And this is a He, but it's an H, it's mute. Zechariah, that's the name, okay? And the Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. That's the meaning of the book. And Zechariah 1:1 we read, in the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. All right. Now, let's find out how old was this man when he wrote the book. Okay. You go to chapter 2 and in verse 4 of chapter 2. The Bible says in Zechariah 2:4, and said unto him, run and speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. And so verse 3 gives you the context. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, run and speak to this young man. See, the word young man, in Hebrew, you can say a word, and almost you know the age. The word young man means between 15 to 19. So I'm going to give the credit to the maximum age that he will have. 20 is another word, because you remember when Moses took the people, everybody died except those who were 20 and there. 20 is it's another word for responsibility. And so 19 is a young man. 20 is no longer a young man, is responsible. And so the Hebrew had those things, 12, 15 to 19 and 20. There's three ages that distinguish. And so this was a young man, 19 years old, perhaps the maximum that he should have when he got the information. Now, the time when this prophecy was done. Well, we have to do a little comparison. And look at the data in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the 8th month of 2nd year of Darius. See, they don't have a calendar like we do, January, February. That's a Catholic Church invention. They have a calendar by the name of the man and the year that he came in office. So here's Darius is king. The 2nd year that he was king. And the 8th month. So now we have to go to Ezra, back to Ezra, which is a contemporary. And look in chapter 5 of Ezra. It's very important that we get this. Ezra chapter 5 and verse 1. So let me get into that. In Nehemiah, one before that is Ezra, chapter 5, in verse 1. Now, you remember what I read before. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius. Remember that? Okay. Now, chapter 5, in verse 1. Then, in Ezra, then the prophets, Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, actually Iddo was his grandfather, prophesy unto the Jew that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. So we have Haggai and Zechariah on the same level. Now we go to chapter 6 in verse 14. And the elders of the Jew build it, and they prosper through the prophesy of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they build it and finish. That means the temple, according to the commandments of the Lord of God of Israel, and according to the commandments of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And so we have here some data. Number one is in the second year of Darius, the eighth month. And then we know that this man was a contemporary of Haggai, and we know that Haggai was 420 years before Christ, so that's how he gets to be in the prophecy. All right? Now, what was the ministry of this man? The ministry of this man was to build the temple. Directed to rebuilding the temple. That's what he has to do. All right? So now we go then. You got an idea who this Zechariah was. He was a man which Jehovah remembers. He was a man who came into a scenario when the temple was built. The other prophets were talking. Remember Haggai was saying, go and build the temple. This man came 8 months later, and even though it was contemporary, the temple is being built, and now he enjoy the whole city, enjoy the life of the people with the temple. We call that Nehemiah's temple because Nehemiah built the walls around. Actually, Nehemiah never built the temple. A man by the name Zerubbabel built the temple the second time, but Nehemiah was the director. Now we go then into what we like more, and is the message. And it's very simple. So let's go to Zechariah 6:4 and draw the message, and I'm going to ask you a question. This is the whole message of the book. The temple is built, and Zechariah is enjoying this. Let me read from verse 1 in chapter 6. And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four cherubs out from between two mountains. He has a lot of visions, actually 8 visions in Zechariah. And the mountains were mountains of brass. And the first cherub were red horses, and in the second cherub black horses, and the third cherub white horses, and in the fourth cherub grizzled and bay horses. You know, these are explained in Revelation. Now, verse 4, then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Now, I really have the wrong verse. Let me see. Zechariah, no by might, no by force, but by my spirit, say the Lord. That's 4:6. Okay, I got it wrong. So the reference is 4:6. This, the computer, what is it? Is it Apple computer? Look at what they did. All right. 4:6. Okay. 4:6. That's what I want. All right. Here it is. I'm reading from verse 1 in chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and walked with me as a man that is walking out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a ball upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, and the 7 pipes into the 7 lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And the book of Revelation, chapter 1, talks about that. Verse 3, and the 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the ball, and the other upon the left side thereof. The one is Israel, the other is the church. Now look at verse 4. So I answered, and I spake to the angels that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel that walked with me answered and said to me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and said unto me, saying, I spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, no by might, Zerubbabel was a builder of the temple, no by might, no by power, no by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts. They were building an actual physical temple. They were not talking about the spiritual temple that we'll talk in a minute. They were building the spiritual, the physical temple. And even in that, remember, change these 4 to 6. Even in that, God has a message for us. And the message of Zechariah is that he was concerned, in Haggai too, that the people be dedicated and do the best they can. And God comes and said to them, it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my spirit, said the Lord. What do you think he's saying to these people who were, especially to a builder? We will call Zerubbabel a general contractor today. The general contractor was really concerned, is building the temple of God. And remember, they have in mind what Solomon built before, so this man must really be scared. What a God's message is. I will build a temple. That's good. What else God is saying? Hey, I mean, you're concerned? That's good. But listen carefully. I'm building the temple. I'm building the temple. You be useful, be available, share your resources, and your resources is not only money, is your time, your gift, your talent, everything you have. Share that, but I will collect all of them, and I will build my temple. Brother Wayne asked me today, he's a salesman, and he wrote 7 forms and how to approach people, corner them in a corner, and get them saved. I said, Brother Wayne, now you corner those people and you sell 10 bottles of water, that's good. But you don't corner people to get saved. This text is the key. It is not by might, it is not by power, it's by my spirit. How do we win people to the Lord? What do?
We should share.
We testify, we call it. In Acts 1:8, where they say, and be my witness. You'll be witness. Yes, we'll knock a door. Yes, we said, here's a Bible from our church to you. And do you know why we give you a Bible? And we wait. So why? Then we explain Christ. But we want them saved. I want them saved. But, you know, we got to wait. Yes.
I had this question to me the other day on a TV program where it's a gift. And we present the gift, which is Christ, and they have to open it.
Yeah, have to know.
They open it.
They open the gift. Yeah. We give the gift, they have to open the gift.
Yeah.
And God, the Holy Spirit, will do the work. Now we're going to see this in the New Testament. You see that? We want to build a church. We're going to have, he went to Texas. Said, in Texas, there are churches, 2,000-3,000 people membership. Yeah, it could be. I have in mind 3,000 membership. In heaven, I want to look down and you people will have 3,000 here. But I tell you, the church at the beginning was not 3,000. If you read Romans, people say, the best book of theology is the book of Romans, to whom Paul wrote to the church of Rome. If you read the last chapter, you study, remember? There were a few people. I remember I was in Russell class at that time. There were a few people here and there and there and there and there. And that's the church. Your family actually is the church. We don't want to isolate ourselves, for sure. But we gather together, we have a great church. And we can have more. Actually, is not to have number, but to have people accepted Christ as Savior is the goal. All right? Now, let's see this in the New Testament format. Okay? You help me with the scripture. All right? Put it this. Put it that sign there. Okay? Zechariah 4:6. Trust in the power of God. That is the message. Trust in the power of God. And I said to Wayne, we're going to go out. You tell me what day and what hour. We go every week. And we trust in the power of God. He said, what? If we say to them, we come back in the night when your husband is here. You know, all the tricks a salesman will do. You know, and he's a good salesman. He sells about 100 equipment per month. He said, and I said, well, I come later on and I call it. When we leave, we call it right away. No. We leave them alone. All right? We said, we have a gift from your church. Russell, that's a good point. We have a gift to the church. Then we pray that they will open the gift. That's a good point, Russ. All right. Now, let's go to the next passage. Therefore, here it is. You help me with the scripture here. All right. Now, we are the temple today. Somebody look in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and read it for me. We are. Yes, sir.
I just was going to say, it's only by God's Spirit that they even open the gift.
Yeah.
It's not like you have something to sell anyway. Because you could be the best salesman in the world and tell someone about Christ. Even they can even say the words. They can even say, yes, I believe. But they can only really believe by God's Spirit.
I say, Wayne, he's taking classes with Brother Kennedy in Florida. And we need to have that zeal of presentation of the gospel. I agree. But leave the result to God. It's okay. All right. Somebody have for me. We are the temple of God today. Okay. Anthony.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth
in you? Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Now, who built you up? Christ. The Holy Spirit came into you. All right. Now, look at here. Number two. We are built by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Titus 3. At verse 5, we are the temple of God. Who made you the temple of God? Here's the answer. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Brother Siafre from the back with accent in the last letter. Siafre. The Holy Spirit. God has washed us. And who renewed my mind that we talked this morning? The Holy Spirit. He is in charge to renew your mind. And you can explain a person 200 ways the way of salvation, and that person is a dead person. Remember that. But we need to explain it anyway. We need to press in that person. We need to ask them, this is what needs to be done. But then with respect to result, we cross our arms and we dismiss the person and we go. And what do? We have another thing to do. We pray. If somebody say, come in and explain it, we go and explain it. And he said, we ask them, is there anybody more in home? And we save them. No, we don't save anybody. We just witness. Anybody more in home that we can talk? Said the jail man in Acts 16. Is anybody else I can talk? And explain it. And God, the Holy Spirit, is to renew all these washings. All of these things that happen in salvation is done by the Holy Spirit, said Paul to Titus. One more thing. Number three, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word. That's my aunt, who now is with the Lord, at the age of 93. When she here was a pastor, she came to live in Mill Bray with my cousin for years, and Raquel and I visit every Thursday to read the Bible to her. You know, at 93, she had the mind, yes or not. And then he said, this is Cacho. This is a little boy from Argentina. Yeah, Cacho. Who is Cacho? That's the son of the sister. Oh, yeah. He said, and who you are, a pastor? Oh, Cacho, he said. Do you remember? The guy who played soccer. The guy who said, Cacho, are you a pastor? She said, yeah, I'm a pastor. Oh, listen to this. So look at what she read for me. 663. Who have it? Okay, go ahead, Grace. John 6:63. The word that I speak unto you, that spirit in their life. Wow. You know what she said to me? She said, now, son, listen carefully. Just don't say any of your words. Just say what God wants to say. And you will be okay. What a great counsel, you know. I said, Mom, he's no longer Cachito. I mean, the little boy. He said, no. She said, he needs to listen. He's going to be himself. I know he plays soccer. I know how he is. He said, now listen carefully to hear. And it is your big grand aunt who knows you like the palm of the head telling. Now, here's what you do. When you share with people, you share the word of God because the words of Christ are the spirit. It's time you put words. People can laugh, can do this. But when you put Christ's words, what? Well, yes.
If we were selling salvation, eternal life, people would buy it. Could that be their own salvation, though? They would buy it.
Yeah.
If we were outselling salvation or eternal life, people would buy it.
Yeah. But
they have to accept the truth that they can do nothing. It has to be Christ. God is the one that does the saving.
Another pastor. This is the first time it happened in our ministry. I was sharing with other pastors how tough is our budget in comparison with the number of people that we have. And the man said, we know in this community that you have a strong church. See, that's what he said. We know in this community you have a strong church and you people are very wise. So, see, we don't have the number, but Gideon even was worried. And he said, how many? 13,000 there? He was a military man. He said, I need 3,000 here and there. And God said, okay, get all the people to the water. Remember what they had to do? They had to nail down and drink. Those who nailed down and with the two hands they got it, they leave them alone. Those who put one hand and the other hand in the knife, these are the people that you get. How many did he get? 300. Now wisdom came in. He got some mules, put the stones in some barrels, and send the mules on the mountain. And you know when you send the boom, 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 the enemy hear the noise and run away. And don't even have to fight. It's of the Lord. The battle that we talked this morning, this terrible battle of the mind, is of the Lord. And he will fight for us. If we go to the scripture, he will fight for us. And he will help our infirmities. We are not so strong that we can overcome, but God will help us to do it. All is of the Lord. Zechariah then is the power of God. Remember Zechariah by that. And the power of God is Christ. Each time we go to something else, listen, let's always keep ourselves on Christ. All right? Anybody want to say something more? See, your marriage is strong in Christ. Your work is strong in Christ. Just do normal things. Don't do odd things. Just live normally with Christ and will be victory. Thank you, Father. In Christ Jesus, we can have the victory. In Zechariah, even Zechariah, who was in charge of challenging the people to build the temple again, God has to instruct his contractors, saying, it is not by your wisdom, it is not by the people's willing, it is by my power. God, help us to build your church by your power, no ours. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right, God bless you. Give you a great week. All right. Praise them.